Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to look ahead to tonight's Raw after WrestleMania. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also AEW, Dynamite, NXT pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to look ahead to tonight's Raw. Before we get to that, though, Andy, what did you make to night two of WrestleMania?
Not 7 hours long, which is always with these two night shows, that's always the big relief coming out of these manias. No, it was another good show. I don't think it was quite as strong as night one in terms of consistency. If you look at the undercard, I don't think there was anything that was as good as, say, Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. And I don't think there was a pleasant surprise like the Bad Bunny performance or Omos. I can never pronounce those two syllables. But it was a good show, for sure. It was, these things are so easy to watch when it's split into two. A couple of things I wasn't too fond of. One of them will probably come up today as we talk about Raw. You can probably guess what it is. But for the most part, just a really good show with a stunning main event. It did need a stunning main event. Yeah. I think if the triple threat was just kind of okay, then I would look at the show and go, oh, that was a bit of a letdown after night one. But, across these two nights, I was thoroughly sports entertained. And, night two was just a good, solid show with plenty to enjoy, for sure.
Yeah, I think two things are for certain coming off the back of this WrestleMania weekend. Number one, night one was better than night two. I completely agree overall. Number two, I think the blue brand might have edged this one. But I parroted this take on our WrestleMania review in the small hours of this morning, Andy, but I thought I got the sensation and watching bits of it back today again, as your tweet said on Sunday, normalize having less than 20-minute matches on a regular basis on WWE pay-per-views.
On every pay-per-view in wrestling. Like so often across all companies, not just WWE, matches tend to go 25, 30, even 40 minutes for the sake of, being able to attach the word epic to it. When really, if you can accomplish in 15 minutes what somebody else does in half an hour, you're going to be the winner every time, as far as I'm concerned. Lean, tight matches. Did the main event of night two go over 20? If it did,
it's the only one. Only one. It went only a couple of minutes over 20, but it didn't feel like it. And arguably, it merited it. And the fact it had been preceded by, 10-minute matches, 5-minute matches, 15-minute matches, it didn't feel like a slog.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we had one match across both of these shows that went over 20, and nothing felt like, you could make an argument that a match here and a match there could have been a bit longer, but I don't think anything felt like it was cheated for time.
No.
Unless you want to argue like some of the falls in the tag team turmoil match from night one. But yeah, as I get older and, my time gets more precious and like how I choose to fill it becomes more of an important decision, I increasingly respect professional wrestlers and pro wrestling companies that respect my time and get in and out in 10, 15 minutes. Why go 30 when you can go 15, man? Why?
Yeah, like you say, there was a few matches last night, Owens and Zayn, Sheamus and Riddle, I'll get on to actually, and Apollo Crews and Big E could have done with more time. But then again, considering the finish, it wouldn't really have mattered if it had gone another 5 or 10 minutes, because it was always going to get that sort of reaction with a man I've never seen before getting involved in it. I'll save that for the SmackDown preview later on this week. Who on earth is this man? It's Dabba Kato. He's on Raw Underground loads and he was literally drafted. Who is he? I've never seen this guy before.
Did you know that this guy, he's had, I'm not sure what his real name is, but he's now had more ring names than he's had televised matches. So like WWE doesn't recognize Raw Underground fights as matches. He's had one match, that would be the greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And he's wrestled as Babatunde, mm-hmm. Dabba Kato. And I believe the new character is Commodore Aziz. So three names.
That name, by the way. I saw this tweet earlier on today and I thought, well, that's got me interested.
It's an interesting name. But the thing about the guy is that, you know, Babatunde is like a really quite a common name in certain parts of Africa, including Nigeria, which is how he shares the heritage with Apollo. So it's like, why not just go back to that, guys? I don't know. I'm nitpicking over something that doesn't matter here.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to tonight's Raw, though. And I think it speaks volumes that before I get onto the WWE Championship picture, Andy Murray, we have to talk about The Fiend, because it was one of the matches I was most looking forward to with morbid fascination last night. And then they literally had a straight up wrestling match that went less than 6 minutes. And then the unkillable Fiend was pinned by one RKO. Now, yes, there's talk about what this Alexa Bliss character and more black goo bollocks. First of all, what do you think of the match? And second of all, is the Fiend kind of finished?
You can probably tell from my reaction what I thought of the match. And I was laughing, honest to God, I was laughing the whole way through this thing, because it's just so absurd, the whole deal. Like, none of it is believable is the problem I have with it. I think realistic is an overused term in wrestling, because if it was supposed to be realistic, an Irish whip wouldn't exist. Mm. But believable is key. Being able to suspend your disbelief is critical to your enjoyment of this sport. So when Randy Orton comes down looking resplendent in his lovely white tights, he just stands there and watches, presumably, people assemble a jack-in-the-box, which just appears. Alexa Bliss comes down, you know, this infantilized version of Alexa Bliss, turns the crank, this goofy music plays, out pops the Fiend. He's not burned anymore. He's got his old look back, which is good because it's a better look. And he kind of jumps off it, and then they just start slapping each other in headlocks and working a normal wrestling match. And at this point, I thought, well, something funny's got to happen here, because they're not just going to go back and forth and trade holds. And then they went back and forth and traded holds. And the finish is, look, if you're into this kind of stuff, fair enough. You know, wrestling should invite multiple takes and multiple opinions, and none of them are right and wrong. But please, one of you explain to me how you buy in to any of this. So we come back and Alexa Bliss has somehow changed costume and presumably in the box, but that's weird. She's sitting on the top. Her face is leaking this black fluid. The Fiend gets distracted and Randy Orton wins with an RKO. So in WWE canon, an RKO is now deadlier than being set on fire. This is the Fiend who no-sold all of Seth Rollins' moves, no-sold everything else, and been presented as this unbeatable, unkillable whatever. And now he just loses to one RKO, which, okay, it makes more sense in you know, grounded wrestling psychology, but you've already had matches where this guy is just shaking off finishers like they're nothing. I think that even if you're a fan of The Fiend and you're into the character and you're into the maligned lore of The Fiend, I don't know how you can look at this and be satisfied, right? Even if you're a big Fiend fan, you've got to be upset with kind of what they've done with him here. I don't know necessarily think he's buried, because I don't know if you can bury a character like The Fiend.
It's just so I like that. That's more of the lore of the Fiend. Can you bury the Fiend?
I guess we'll find out when they have a Buried Alive match at Money in the Bank. But it's just so far removed from the realms of believability that I find this stuff impossible to like earnestly buy into. So I take it as comedy. And if you ask me, Randy Orton and The Fiend had the best comedy match of the year so far last night. It was preposterous, man. Ridiculous.
It's just so, I don't know how they follow it up tonight because of that. Like you say, all right, there's an intrigue in the story of like, what, did Alexa Bliss effectively sacrifice herself to bring the Fiend back? And also, if she did that, imagine being like, well, I've sacrificed myself, but at least the Fiend, oh, he's lost it to one RKO. Oh, that's kind of bloody pointless. Yeah. But you've got that, but on the one hand, I'm like, well, surely they're just done now with Orton and the Fiend. But on the other hand, I was like, sorry, they did this for 6 months for that payoff?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, the lore masters of The Fiend have been explaining to people on Twitter today that The Fiend saw a vision of Sister Abigail when he saw Alexa Bliss covered in goo, and that's why he was so... Come on, this is pro wrestling. It's supposed to be believable. I'm at a loss with this stuff, really, 90% of the time. Hopefully they just kill the character off, like, right? Just, you know, bring back Swamp Wizard Bray Wyatt, all is forgiven, because this is just ridiculous.
Have you heard the other theory that I saw? I'm not sure if this is genuine, or although I believe almost anything now, the people are talking about in the comments, where people are saying there's actually two Fiends, one of which is Bo Dallas, and that's the next... What?
Bo Dallas? Bo Dallas hasn't wrestled since November 2019. What are you talking about? I love these crackpot theories, man. It's like, it's kind of the new version of fantasy booking, isn't it? Coming up with wacky Fiend ideas. Well, what if the Fiend is actually a member of a circus that travels? It's just, it's too much to comprehend. It really is.
Right, now let's get on to the WWE champion. Bobby Lashley looked incredibly dominant with the way he defeated Drew McIntyre, although that finish did kind of divide opinion, but here we are nonetheless. And I was one sat there going, I'd like to see, you know, Bobby get more of a reign than just, oh, we'll transition it onto him to put it back on Drew at WrestleMania. I don't know where Drew McIntyre necessarily goes from here. But yeah, what, or more specifically, who is next for Bobby Lashley, and why is it Braun?
Braun the Tank Engine was my overwhelming thoughts coming out of WrestleMania as well. Because he won his feud decisively and cleanly. And, you know, as dominant as you're going to get in like a Shane McMahon match, really. Because Shane's got to get his cat and mouse stuff in, hasn't he? I'm not ripping on that cage match. I actually really enjoyed it, as for somehow people who watched our stream will attest. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's Braun. I mean, it could feasibly be anyone, because WWE isn't necessarily a company that builds people up with wins. Sometimes they will just throw somebody randomly into a title feud. And other companies do that as well, but you notice it in WWE a lot. So I think Braun would make sense. He's, I guess, gone babyface again, right, through this through this Shane McMahon feud, because he's stupid and all of this stuff. And he's been bullied by people like Shane McMahon all of his life. I can't really see past him. And it's, you know, it would do fine as like a backlash match, right? It's not necessarily something you would want to have on a bigger pay-per-view.
Andy, sorry, I've got to correct you there. It wouldn't be a backlash match, would it? What would it be?
Oh, sorry, WrestleMania backlash? Is that what it's...
I can't believe they called it this.
I can't wait for WrestleMania Money in the Bank and WrestleMania Great Balls of Fire later this summer.
I can't wait till next April for WrestleMania. WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania Squared.
Might as well throw a WrestleMania on all of these. Wait till we get back to Saudi Arabia and we can do the greatest WrestleMania Super Showdown WrestleMania. but yeah, it's Braun, isn't it? I mean, Bobby can just beat his ass. He can beat his ass on one pay-per-view. We can be done with it. I feel like they are going to keep Bobby rolling until at least SummerSlam, and I could see Drew kind of coming back. But Randy Orton might also fill in. I know they've already done it about 700 times with Drew. But if his Fiend feud really is over and the Fiend has gone back to his magical land of Ewoks and Slipknot roadies, maybe they would slot that back in. But I've had enough of that feud personally, and I think I would rather watch a different show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, let's get into some of the other new champions from WrestleMania weekend. Let's talk about the new Raw Tag Team champions because, oh, I want more Big Jord on my telly tonight.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a really fun match. Omos is fun because the modern wrestling big man is a guy who can do crazy athletic feats for their size. So like a Lance Archer or a Keith Lee, they're going to blow your head off because of all the crazy cruiserweight stuff they can do. But this fella is just an old school monster, and there aren't many of those around anymore. He's not particularly fast. He's not hitting the top rope and doing flippy dippy doodahs. He's just a big dude, and people bounce off him, and he throws them around, and he's got a choke bomb finisher, a baldo bomb, whatever you want to call it, where they basically drop from about 700 feet out of the sky because he's so huge. It's cool. There's a niche that he can fill in modern wrestling because this kind of character doesn't really exist anymore. And there is an art to booking around people's limitations, as we saw at WrestleMania. I'm dead excited for this reign. I love the New Day. They're one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history, I think, and they've never lost steam with me. I still enjoy them. But AJ and Big Jord, it's just so fresh. It's different. It's exciting. It's kind of Shawn Michaels and Diesel vibes for a new era. He's one of the best wrestlers of all time, teaming with this brick mountain guy who cannot be moved. So I could see them running this feud back for sure. Mm-hmm. It's just what WWE likes to do. They like to prolong things past one pay-per-view match. But it'll bring a different dynamic to the tag division for sure. This isn't going to be like some kind of five-star match reign, but it's going to be a fun reign. It's going to be AJ running around being a pain in the ass, annoying the opponent until Big Jord tags in, does his power stuff, talks some trash, and then pins dudes by planting his foot on their chest. I can't wait to see what they do next, honestly. It's such a sports entertainment deal. And it's so much fun. And yeah, Big Jord's the man. He's the best.
And even more so, AJ Styles is going to be unbearable in a good way on Monday Night Raw. Because yeah, if I was in the locker room going, oh, I'm going to give AJ Styles a piece of my bloody mind. And then I saw what Omos did to Kofi Kingston in particular. I'd be like, maybe I'll wait till AJ's on his own perhaps or something. But yeah, and just no one tell Vince McMahon or remind Vince McMahon that Big Jord is Nigerian born because he's going to have that Nigerian stable getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it's just going to get even more problematic. Another new champion, so deserved, by the way. And in my opinion, the without question, the second best match on WrestleMania night 2. Sheamus and Riddle was great, in my opinion. 10 minutes of just big men beating the crap out of each other. And that finish, my word, that finish between these two men. For me, I know, you know, we often moan about, oh, God, you just backlash is just dilute WrestleMania. You know, it's just run back all the feuds, but absolutely run this feud back. They worked wonders together last night, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, the feud has barely started as well. It only kicked off a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, there's definitely legs to take this to another pay-per-view. And the kind of whole appeal of this Sheamus run at the moment isn't like intricate layered storytelling, even though there was obviously layers between him and McIntyre. It's just this guy goes out there and kicks people's ass and gets his ass kicked in the process and just leaves nothing in the tank. He's been one of WWE's best in-ring performers, if not. I struggle to think of someone who's been more consistent, actually, than Sheamus in 2021. And that's often been the story of his career. But the thing about Sheamus is it often gets underlooked. Well, not this year. Everyone's recognizing the quality he's putting forth. And I thought last night was really great on a number of different levels. There were a couple of sloppy moments, like a couple of botches. So like towards the end where he went for the white noise, was it, off the top rope? And he kind of lost his grip and they had to go down the bottom, but they improvised through each of them really well.
Me and Phil said this on a review. I loved, you know, when they didn't quite hit the jackhammer the first time or the white noise issue. Yeah. Like you don't just go, oh, I'll just drop my opponent on his head and see what happens. Like you go, oh, we'll just reset. Yeah. And fans accept that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Like if you can reset and work it into a believable part of the match, because wrestling shouldn't always be clinical. Like you're going to slip up when you're trying to hurt a guy. So they did a really great job of recovering from those and working them into the match. And the Goldberg jackhammer thing, well, yeah, he couldn't really lift him the first time. But is that not quite a funny tribute to Goldberg if he botches the first attempt in some of Goldberg's recent attempts at that move? Sheamus 100% deserves this run. This is the kind of thing that you reward people with, right? A mid-card title reign. You don't necessarily go, hey, have the world title because you've worked really hard. That's a more dangerous game. You want to keep for the hottest, the top draws in your company most of the time. But Sheamus has had a phenomenal year. This was a really good, stiff, hard-hitting match. I really enjoyed his work with Drew earlier in the year. He had a good match with Bobby Lashley as well. Just make this title reign about him smacking people up, and I'll be satisfied.
And a little potential spoiler for tonight's Raw. Obviously, presumably, we've seen the back of Bad Bunny with his tour announcement and stuff, and what a credit he's been to celebrities in WWE in those appearances, and Randy Orton, you know, complimenting him in the way that he did on the bump speaks volumes. Obviously Logan Paul as well ate a stunner last night, so celebrities going away from WWE, but with this feud, hello, it's right there. What does Riddle ride around on? Let's get Scooter in WWE.
Yeah, we might as well see what Bass Hunter's up to as well, right? That's the thing about the celebrity use at the moment, though. Like, for years, the thing with WWE was they'd get these old dudes in who are like 10 years past their relevance, right? Like, they were famous. Remember when they got Grumpy Cat in about 5 years after that movie? But now, like, they're actually getting people who are relevant, and it's quite fresh. Like, you say what you want about Logan Paul, right? But he's in the zeitgeist. Like, people talk about the guy. And Bad Bunny, obviously, is a very popular music artist. It's a far cry from the days when they were bringing in boring old farts who aren't famous anymore properly. Yeah. And I, for one, look forward to the arrival of, I don't know, Fatboy Slim.
Paul. H.P. Baxter, as he's known, Hans-Peter Geerdes, the 57-year-old lead singer of Scooter, also associate acts, I'm reading here.
57.
Celebrate the Nun. Well, there's an interesting name for a band.
To be fair, that sounds like it would fit in quite well in the Firefly Funhouse universe.
Oh, God. Oh. What's this? He owns many old British cars. He's one of the judges on The X Factor in Germany. What? Sorry, I'm really distracted here.
Oh, no. So this guy was, what, like 37 or 40 when he was making those songs?
Yeah, like 40 odd.
Oh, my God. He's almost as old as Shane McMahon.
I don't understand what this means. On the 6th of May 2016, married his girlfriend Simone Mostert. In 2011, HP, by the way, anyone called HP in Britain would never hear the end of it, right?
Nah, you'd be screwed.
In 2011, HP and Simone got divorced one day before the Stadium Techno Inferno. I don't even know what that is. What's that?
I told you, put him in the Firefly Funhouse. They had an Inferno match. Let's go. Scooter versus the Fiend.
Seamus, are you ready? Right, let's talk about the new Raw Women's Champion. Great to see Rhea Ripley leave as champ. Although credit to Asuka, she's been absolutely wonderful as Raw Women's Champion. Did feel a bit sorry for these because I saw accusations of this being boring. And I thought, well, it's not boring. It's technical. But also, they've had 3 weeks to build a story for this. It had no story. That was the problem, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, WWE, unfortunately, did nothing to really inspire investment in this feud. It was short, and the plan obviously changed with various circumstances relating to Charlotte Flair and Lacey Evans, but they didn't really do anything that was going to make you get fired up. They did that horrible, can they coexist thing that they'd already done with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So the whole thing was kind of just a wet fart of a build, but you know, they did all they could in the match. I thought it ended up a pretty decent match, although it did suffer a bit from a bit of a flat atmosphere in the building. But Rhea Ripley, obviously, she had that questionable booking decision last year when she wrestled Charlotte Flair. By questionable, I mean she should have won. but they've kind of gone away to writing that now. I think Asuka, she held the belt for a long time, but it wasn't a good title reign. She was often undermined. They've got something of a rebuilding job to do with Asuka. So I would be very wary of them running this one back. I think the next move for Rhea is pretty obvious. I think it's Charlotte, and I think she has to win. You've already started the process of kind of erasing the bad stuff from last year with her winning on this year's Mania. Now you can really cement that by just having her beat Charlotte Flair, because there aren't many bigger scalps in the division than Chaz. We're probably owed that match. The worst thing in the world would be, you know, if Ripley is the heel, Charlotte's the face, and Charlotte just wins. Yeah. That would suck. But I think she's well set up to go on some kind of long, prosperous title reign here. And I hope it is long. And I hope it begins with a win over Charlotte.
If I had any faith in long-term booking of the women's division, because yes, what Sasha and Bianca were just wonderful on night one of WrestleMania. That video package where they just went, yeah, let's just not mention Reginald, all that tag team bollocks. Let's just concentrate on Royal Rumble to here. Speaks volumes, I think. I would hope that if they are going to do Rhea versus Charlotte, that could genuinely be a contender for the headline match, the main event of SummerSlam, hopefully with fans in attendance, of course. So in the interim, it's not difficult. All the baby faces who haven't had title shots whilst Asuka's been champion, just book them against Rhea Ripley. And in the words of Andy Murray's friend and mine, Hardcore Holly, haven't beat everybody. That's all you have to do. Keep putting the Riptide over as this huge finisher and just have her murder everyone, because look at her, she's a star. It's not difficult, like you say, but this actually allows me to transition into our final talking point of today, and that is, you know, the fact this is the Raw after WrestleMania. Not only are we getting a new Thunderdome, and as you reminded me before we came on here, a new announced team as well as the traditional Raw after WrestleMania surprises. So you think Charlotte may well be one of them tonight?
Yeah, I think she says she's been cleared following her recent brush with the Global Bastard. Provided there's nothing else going on with her, I definitely think that's a realistic proposition. The past couple of Raw after WrestleMania shows haven't quite been big pop and surprise-based lineups we've had before. Like, last year was obviously very difficult with what was going on. I wonder if we obviously won't see the Big Show show up this year. Probably last year. Him in the real main event of WrestleMania. But even in 2019, it was like, oh, it's Lars Sullivan. Okay. Sami Zayn. That's nice. You know, that's cool. I don't think we're going to see the kind of like industry shaking returns we've seen, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, or major, massive, huge call-ups. I don't think necessarily we'll see Io Shirai or Adam Cole, for example, although they are realistic, but I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem within the edict of what the Raw after WrestleMania is these days. One guy I do think we'll see
is he was there. He was there in the opening segment somehow, for some reason.
Yes.
In his gear, right at the front, Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
I could see Jinder being unhindered on tonight's Raw for sure. He wrestled at the Superstar Spectacle, the show designed to highlight the Indian wrestlers, which was actually a lot of fun. I can definitely see him coming back. Ivar's the injured one, right? I always get their
Eric
names.
Eric was in the Battle Royal on Friday.
Yeah, Eric was in the Battle Royal, and Ivar was in the lineup alongside him last night, two nights ago. So maybe the Viking Raiders show up as well, but I think I would put money on Jinder. Not much money, maybe about 50 pence. But I think the unhindered one is coming back. Hey, maybe he'll be the first title challenger for the next title challenger for Bobby Lashley. That would be weird, but I might be into it.
So you can't get out of this and say, when I give you each name, say no, right?
Yeah.
You have to pick one of these three names that is going, and Andy Murray's certainty is going to return on Raw tonight. Brock Lesnar, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey. They're all incredibly unlikely, but what is the most likely out of those three?
I guess it depends what Becky Lynch has tweeted today. If she tweets, she tweeted night one and night two. If she tweets Monday at some point today, there's no chance in hell she's turning up. But of the three, I'm going to say that Becky Lynch is definitely turning up, purely because there's no chance in hell that Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar are turning up.
Yeah.
So the process of elimination takes me to Becky. It would be good to have her back, for sure.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Andy Murray guarantees in the Becky Lynch. No. I don't see Brock coming in until they've got fans, because they are going to want to blow the roof off the place when Brock returns.
Yeah.
And I don't think they need him right now, if I'm honest.
Nah. He probably is happy not traveling.
Yes. Ronda, I don't see it happening quite so soon, if at all. So, yeah, Becky. Jinder is the one. It was the one I was going to say as well, because I spotted him and went, oh, it's Jinder Mahal. So, who knows? I'd love to see someone like an Io Shirai or... I don't know. What do you reckon about Finn Balor, perhaps?
Maybe. I wouldn't necessarily want that. I've really enjoyed Finn Balor's run in NXT, and I'd worry that if he went back to Raw, they'd meddle with it a little bit too much and transform the character into something that isn't as cool. But it's a possibility. I mean, you can basically look at anyone who lost a big takeover match and say there's a chance, there's a possibility. Triple H was very like, hey, you never know what might happen on the media call the other week. Basically gave nothing away. But anyone who lost a big match on that show, I think is fair game for sure. And those are the big three, right? Io Shirai, Adam Cole, and Finn Balor. So maybe we'll get all three. We'll probably get zero.
Yeah. We live in hope. And a quick word on... returning to the Thunderdome or new Thunderdome. Do you think anything's going to be different? And will anything change on the announced team or in terms of the way that they will Raw be good, basically?
WWE commentary, man. Nah, it's a different shade of the same, style of commentary, isn't it? This new fella coming in from ESPN, we'll see what he's made of. Corey Graves as well. Wonder what's going on with Samoa Joe. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Like,
he's booted off the Raw announced team. I wonder if maybe that signals he's maybe ready to go. He might be a cool one. If he returns to the ring tonight, that'd be a sick little surprise. And I don't think it's totally unrealistic. So maybe that could tie in with the change to the announced team. But this new lad, I hope he is... Tom Phillips is fine, but someone with a little bit more character would be nice. But they're all at the mercy of Vince McMahon screaming in their ear, aren't they? So for sure.
Yeah, just get rid of Michael Cole, because he ruined the main event of night one of WrestleMania, the conclusion of that. So
he tried his best.
But yes. So best of luck to Adnan Virk, I think is his name, former ESPN sportscaster. I was just scrambling around looking for that name. That's very interesting. And oh my God. Yeah, I don't want any returns tonight now. I just want Samoa Joe back in a wrestling ring, if only.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. It's been too long, and I know concussions are difficult, and he's probably just taking his time with them. But
absolutely,
it's been too long, Joe. Let's do a thing.
Oh, now I'm excited for the Raw after WrestleMania. And let us know your thoughts ahead of tonight's show on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, they can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
That's Andy H. Murray. The H stands for hinder. Don't do it.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, loads more WrestleMania fallout to come, as well as, of course, the Raw review with myself and Michael Hamflett tomorrow. But for now, this has been the Raw preview, the Raw after WrestleMania preview, I should say. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.